have emotion and energy to win in the National Football League. So we know we're going to have that, but we work in practice on precision and performing under pressure. We put ourselves, our offense and our defense, in those situations where you're going to have your emotion flowing. We practice against each other, offense against defense, our first group against each other, and we put them in 2-minute situations where you've got to make decisions quickly and you want to win, and there's kind of a sense of pride riding on it, so that you do get that idea of how can I function best when I do have a lot of energy and emotion going.
That's, of course, Tony Dungy. We're joined by Rick Goslin, who has probably had a little bit of emotion going there, watching somebody he's known for many years. Rick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick.
When you hear Tony Dungy talk about that, and here's a guy that from day one said, you're never going to hear me swear, you're never going to hear me raise my voice, and yet he found a way to coach intensity. There is no question that that Indianapolis Colts team out-hit and out-hustled Chicago.
Yeah, there are a lot of perceptions about that team. It was supposed to be a soft team. It was supposed to be a dome team that couldn't play outdoors. It couldn't play on grass. It couldn't play in bad weather. Peyton Manning would never be able to win the big game. He didn't win a championship in high school or college. Tony Dungy was too nice a guy. There are all kinds of perceptions that have been shattered here in this last 24 hours. And it, in Dungy's case, it really does prove that you can be a nice guy and win. Everybody likes Tony Dungy. He treats everyone with respect. He doesn't look down on anyone. He's just a great human being, well beyond what he is as a football coach.
Can you think of another head coach, Len Dawson, who has had the kind of emotional self-discipline to be able to motivate people to play with emotion, to play with intensity, but yet do it with the example of someone so calm and so understated as Tony Dungy?
Oh, no, I've never seen anybody like that. Rick is the only one that I've seen that has that type of demeanor, that he can handle any situation. But I guess maybe go to the other sideline, Lovie Smith, kind of like Tony Dungy. And, you know, how he treats people. They seem like very, very nice people. And now I go back to those days when the coaches weren't nice at all. You know, that's neither my way or the highway, I think. You know, that's not the way the Lombardi coached, I can tell you that, but it's enlightening to see that. And it's amazing how, with today's athletes, now you can do that and get away with it because they make so much money and, you know, it's all so much of an individual thing and it's all about me, as opposed to back in my early days, you know, it wasn't that way. The coach ruled, man, whatever he said, you had to do. And Tony Dungy has come in with a different philosophy, and the thing is, it works. And it works better when you have a lot better players, too, I can tell you that, regardless of what the demeanor of the coach is.
Yeah, you can't tell when they're up or down by 40 points, you can't tell the difference. The only other name that I would throw out there that's like Dungy with a sideline demeanor is Tom Landry. But I didn't cover him. I don't know how he was in practice. But just on game day, I mean, you couldn't tell looking at Tom Landry whether they're winning, losing, or there's
right.
the end of the
You're
world.
Right about that.
Well, let's go to the other side of the game, which is Lovie Smith. How was he in the locker room, if you could give us an idea, Rick? Did you get a chance to talk to him?
I never got down to Chicago's locker room, but I'm sure he handled it with dignity and class because he handles everything with dignity and class. I thought this was a unique Super Bowl. It was almost a love fest between the two teams and the two coaches. I mean, everything was done just in a very classy way. This is what the NFL wants to portray itself.
Len, tell us about the strategy with Peyton Manning of taking Brian Urlacher out of the game. He certainly had his share of tackles. He certainly had an impact. But what did you see Indianapolis doing to minimize Urlacher's presence?
Block him, I'll tell you. That's block him. They had somebody on him all the time. He made a couple of plays because of his quickness and that, but he had to be accounted for on every play, whether it's a run or a pass. Somebody had Brian Urlacher. You know, that's your guy. Make sure that he doesn't get back here to disrupt the running game. Make sure he doesn't get back to get to your quarterback. So, you know, that's your base your game plan around. When they've got a guy like him over there on the defensive side of the ball, you have to account for him on every single play, because if not, he's going to disrupt everything.
I wanted to play another quote from Tony Dungy about something I thought would end up being one of the key psychological components, which was that last year was stolen from them. Their focus, their sense of being champions, their destiny was taken away because of, I believe, the distraction and of the tragedy of his son. Here's what Tony had to say then, and I love your comments.
I've always tried to get across to my guys that, hey, we are in this. We're wanting to win. The Super Bowl is the goal, but your family and your life, that's what's important. And you are going to have situations where you are going to have people with you forever. And so if you've gotten consumed by going to the Super Bowl and you miss the time with your family, you miss the time with your parents, you miss the time with your friends, it's not going to be worth it at the end. So hopefully they saw that and realized that, and it didn't take something like this to make that happen.
My argument is, we'll start with Rick, is that the leadership, the character, the extreme self-discipline and soulfulness that Tony Dungy showed during that aftermath, during the funeral, during those first few weeks and months after his son's death, that convinced this team to bring on a level of loyalty and commitment that they'd never had before.
I think they were pretty loyal to Dungy before that. I think it kind of melded after that. But no, Tony is such a good person. People will walk through fire for him. And I think that was the case before. I think it became public after the death of James that was the case. But he is such a unique and unusual person to be coaching an NFL team. You remember the stories of the Vermeils and the Joe Gibbs sleeping in cots in their office at night and sure, trying to outwork the next guy, getting in at 5 in the morning and leaving at 11 o'clock at night. Tony Dungy still drives his kids to school every day, and then he goes into work. I mean, football for him is a job. It's not his life.
How could he do that? This is the NFL, Rick.
Unbelievable. He is, again, this is what he does for a living. He does not define himself as a football coach. He defines himself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to bring a sense of balance to the team, that they don't get too low, they don't get too high. What about Bill Polian? Let's first start with Len on this. Bill Polian with three or four losses in Super Bowls back when he was with Buffalo. He puts together this team. He knows that Tony can be the answer. What do you think this means to a Bill Polian?
I don't know. I think he's one of the best general managers in the league, if not in the history of the league. Look what he has done. You know, Buffalo did go to four straight Super Bowls. I know they didn't win one, but and then who else did he put together? Carolina?
Yes,
and
Carolina.
Then, yes. Then the Colts, he put that together where they're, you know, look at their record. I know they didn't win, you know, the championship games, but my goodness, you know, how about getting there? I mean, that's part of the deal. He's put the people on the field that are capable of winning it all, and I think he's done a marvelous job.
Like, I think what he's done, it's threefold. It's Manning, it's Dungy, and it's Polian. It's legacy. None of these guys had rings. All of them had rings. All of them needed rings to basically legitimize all that they've done, and all of them got the ring last night.
You know what I kept
Rick,
hearing all the time
team,
in post-game was organization. This is great for our organization. Tony Dungy's talking about that, not just the players, but he's talking about everybody involved. And did he not invite everybody down in the organization for the Super Bowl?
I believe that's correct.
That's what it sounded like, yes.
Yeah, they brought a couple plane loads. And I'll tell you, at the press conference this morning, he was talking about, often mentioned that, you know, the our city, our fans, and we're going to be there for parade, and we don't care if it's 13 below. The parade's today, and we want you all there. I mean, they did it for themselves and for their city.
Let me ask you guys about Edgerrin James, who, you know, took a free agent contract, and you can say that it was a gutsy move in one sense, that he knew that it was a gamble, and he knew that he'd have to take an even bigger leadership role with the Cardinals, who may well, with Ken Whisenhunt and with the new additions, especially on the offensive line with Russ Grimm, I think, take it to the next level. But that's an organization that has a lot of work to do. Would this team have won the Super Bowl with Edgerrin James?
I think Joe Adai proved to be a better fit for what they do. I think Adai was a tougher runner. I think he hit the edges harder. I think Edgerrin James had more ability to make the big play. But in a game like last night, and we saw it against Baltimore and New England, when you have to run the ball, he can stick his head down and go between the tackles. That really wasn't Edgerrin's style.
Len?
Edgerrin James was a heck of a player. Now, I don't know whether he is still a heck of a player, but he was one heck of a player when he first came up with the Colts and did a lot of marvelous things. Now, would they have won it with him? Maybe. Yeah, he's a heck of a player because you have the other surrounding cast is there with the receivers, the offensive line, and then they put the defense together here in the postseason, and so they probably could have won it with Edgerrin James, but the combination of those two running backs yesterday looked very, very impressive. When you rush for, as I said, 191 yards against a team that doesn't give up 100 yards a game rushing, you're doing pretty good.
It was fun to see Peyton Manning, too, just the way he managed it with both tight ends coming up with some big catches. Even UTEC, after one key mistake, comes back and makes a couple key tackles. Let's talk about this team going into next year with this kind of confidence. What's their free agent situation, Rick Goslin, and can they do it again?
Yeah, as long as Peyton Manning is in his prime, they're a Super Bowl candidate. I think it's all about the franchise quarterback. Len can further discuss that. But, you know, they've got some cap issues. Dwight Freeney is a free agency this year. Nick Harper's a free agent. Cato June's a free agent. Those are three key elements on their defense. But I'll tell you what, when they lose players, they have guys that fill in. Dungy was saying that they have a next man up philosophy. They lost on Nick Harper last night, and they pulled Kelvin Hayden off the bench. He makes the interception that breaks the game open. With that touchdown, they replaced Edgerrin James. I won't say anybody's irreplaceable on this team. I think Free may be close, but I think Bill Polian is good enough at finding players, and Dungy is good enough at making it fit. That I think as long as Peyton Manning is there, I think they're a Super Bowl contender.
That sounds to me a little bit like the Patriots. Len Dawson, what do you think about that?
Well, let me ask you, Rick, don't the owners have or the teams have like $20 million more because of the salary cap increasing?
Yeah,
here next year, so that makes it the job a little easier keeping the players that they want. But I think that what Tony Dungy has done is what we're talking about, that everybody's role is important on that football team, and regardless whether you're starting or not starting. And so when the defensive back went into the ball game, coming up with that interception, you know, that's not only going to help him, but that's going to help all those other guys that aren't starting on that football team. So. Yeah, and I agree with Rick that Peyton Manning is the key. The quarterback is always the key in a Super Bowl game, a one-game shot. You know, you can't afford to have your quarterback play poorly and expect to win, I don't think. Grossman did not play well when he had to, and he had the shot. You know, he had the shot in the last quarter. You know, they're 5 points down. I mean, a couple of big plays, you know, they could get into the end zone and take the lead. So quarterback is the key, and Peyton Manning is a key with the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, that's Len Dawson talking with Len and Rick Goslin for the Dallas Morning News. When we come back, final thoughts on Chicago. Who is their MVP, and what are their chances to take one more step up next year? You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.